Morning, everybody. Yeah, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And the title is Judging Others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces.
So what do we do with the sins of fellow disciples, the flaws and failings and the sins of other Christians? What do we do with that? So let's say I'm meeting with my Christian friend over a cup of coffee. This is someone who says he knows and loves Jesus, and I believe that's true. By the way, these scenarios are hypothetical, okay, before I get myself in trouble. And let's say he says to me over that cup of coffee that he is sleeping with his girlfriend. What do I do? What do I say? Or maybe you're meeting with your friend and you know that he regularly loses it with his wife. He's regularly angry and borderline abusive sometimes with his wife. What do you do? What do you say? What if you're meeting with your friend and you find out, maybe by accident, that she's regularly viewing porn on her phone? What do you do about that? Is it your place to say anything? That's the big question, isn't it? Is it your place to say anything or do anything at all? Is it my place? Because Jesus says, as you just had read to us by Peanut this morning, do not judge. So is it my place to say anything or do anything at all? Often you hear that. I've heard it in church circles quite a lot, either when I've been speaking to someone about something going on in their life, or I've been part of that conversation, or heard about a conversation. And often the response you get when a Christian has their sin pointed out to them, by the way, what I mean by sin is sounds like an old-fashioned word, but it's a biblical word, doing anything that's against God's will and God's law, against God's word. Often what happens when that Christian has a sin pointed out to them, what they'll say in return is, well, it's not for you to judge. Jesus says, do not judge. It's between me and God. It's nothing to do with you. Is that true? Is that what Jesus is saying here? Because when Jesus says there in Matthew 7, do not judge, that sounds pretty straightforward and pretty black and white, doesn't it? Verse 1, do not judge or you too will be judged. Sounds pretty strong to me. Doesn't sound like there's any room for manoeuvre there. But the fact is, as we'll see, I hope, as we go through this morning, it's oversimplifying to say, on the basis of that verse, that we shouldn't address the sins of other Christians. As we'll see, Jesus wants us to address the sin of other Christians, but, here's the big however, but he wants us to do it in the right way, hence his bitingly, sharply humorous language about planks and specks and talk of dogs and pigs. It was never boring listening to Jesus, was it? That's one thing you know coming along here on a Sunday morning. The preacher might be boring sometimes, but the words of Jesus are never going to be boring. There will be many things, sometimes comforting, sometimes painful, but never boring. So what's the context here? We need to remind ourselves, don't we, the context of the Sermon on the Mount, in case you've missed any of our sermons as we've been going through chapters 5, 6, and now 7 of Matthew. The context is basically that Jesus, in a loving way, has been operating on our hearts. He's been taking out his spiritual scalpel and operating on our hearts as Christians. He's talking to people who claim to be his disciples and follow him, but it's not been comfortable a lot of the time, has it, to listen to what he's got to say to us. But we know he's been doing it because he loves us. And what he's been doing is he's been laying bare our attitudes, our desires, our heart, our righteousness, you know, whether we're seeking to live for him. He's been talking about our prayers. He's been challenging us about our treasures. Where's our treasure? Is it here on earth or is it in heaven? He's been lovingly operating on our hearts. He's been speaking to me. But now what he says to me in Matthew 7 is, right, Matt, I now want you to think about your relationships with other people. Particularly in this passage this morning with other Christians, though he touches on people who don't yet follow Jesus as well. He wants us to think about other people and how we deal with them. And particularly this morning, how we deal with their sinful actions, their wrongful responses, their flaws and their failings. And what we'll see is that Jesus wants us to address the sin of other people. He does want us to make judgment calls sometimes, but what he doesn't want is for us to be hypocritical or for us to rush to be judge and jury and, for some of us, executioner into the bargain. And to show us this, he uses three vivid pieces of language. Shock, horror, there's going to be 3 points this morning, because Jesus basically, we can break it down into three vivid pieces of picture language he uses, three bits of imagery. Did I mention it's never boring listening to Jesus? Here's the first point. You're a brother, not a judge. Or if you're a lady, you can substitute, you're a sister, not a judge. There. That's the first point. You're a brother, not a judge. So when you do see a sin in another believer's life, in a brother or sister's life, be sure, Jesus is saying to us, that you've got the relationship right. Your relationship with a fellow Christian is not a judicial relationship. It's not a judicial relationship. It's a family relationship. If we can get that right, we'll get so much else right. But we've got to get that right to start with. You're a brother, not a judge. Some of us, maybe all of us Christians at some point, like to set ourselves up as arbiters of how well or how badly our fellow Christians are doing and pronouncing on how well they're doing. We might pronounce out loud to them or to another Christian, or we might just do it silently in our own heads, but often we love to pronounce on how well or how bad the other Christians are doing. Don't we? Some of you are brave enough to do a very little nod then, a small enough nod so nobody else in the congregation can see you. We all do it sometimes. Some of us are worse than others, and some of us love to do it, and some of us are experts at it. We can become, if we're not careful, expert fault finders. So we switch on our radar as soon as we see another Christian, and we can immediately pick up on the wrong things they do, the wrong things they say, the dodgy attitudes they've got, the places they go. So I think we need to ask ourselves this morning, under this first heading, what do I think about my fellow believers in Jesus? What do I say about them? And what, if anything, do I say to God about them? When you do talk to God about your other Christians in the church now, in the fellowship, what do you say to God about them? Are you saying things to God, if you do talk to God about them, like, well, Lord, they're doing it again. Will you sort them out? Please forgive them, Lord, for being such a terrible Christian. Are those the only things you're saying, thinking, praying about other Christians? If that's the case, then I've got the relationship wrong. And Jesus judges us, in one sense, for judging each other. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. He's warning us here, Christians, about this attitude of being judgmental about other Christians, of being fault finders. He's not telling us that if we judge other Christians, we lose our salvation. That's not what it means here. In the context of what he's saying, and in the context of the whole New Testament, it's clear Jesus doesn't mean that. But it is clear that we will give an account one day to God, to the Lord Jesus, and one of the things we'll give an account for is unloving judgmentalism of our fellow Christians. He says to us that the Revised Standard Version puts it this way, the measure you give will be the measure you get. The measure you give will be the measure you get. Now, that might mean that if you're a judgmental person, you'll tend to get judged by other Christians. At one level, it might be that, but I think it goes a bit deeper than that. There are some words from Romans that I think help us here. Romans 14, 10 to 13, Paul says this. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For, Paul says, we will all stand before God's judgment seat. As it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. I realize I'm on controversial ground here for some Christians. We could get into a long debate about in what sense will I, as a Christian, who've been forgiven and adopted into God's family, in what sense will I give an account one day? Well, I won't give an account in the sense I'll lose my salvation or that I won't go to heaven, but I will stand before God and I will, in some way, give an account for how I've lived. And Jesus is saying one of the things that you and I will give an accounting for when we stand before him on that great day when he returns is whether we've been judgmental towards our brothers and sisters, whether we've been fault finders, whether we've set ourselves up as judge and jury, forgetting that primarily our relationship with other Christians is that of a brother or a sister. I should add here as well, possibly another layer of meaning here is this, that if someone in the church is constantly on the lookout for sins of other Christians, constantly judging and criticizing other Christians and constantly getting angry at them, to the point there's no sign of love or fruit of the Spirit in their life, then that person needs to be asking the question, have I really, truly trusted Jesus yet? And given my life into his hands. I think that could be an element of what's being said here too, that the measure you give will be the measure you get. Jesus is possibly flagging up to us also. If you're constantly judging other Christians, you need to look in your heart and ask, are you really trusting me and really following me? I think you're probably getting the gist by now, though. Jesus is saying when you judge other Christians, it's a dangerous thing to do. He's judging our judgmentalism, because Jesus is the one person who is entitled to judge. Because you see, what we believe here, I hope, is a gospel of grace. That we've realized how messed up we are and how dangerous a situation we're in our relationship with God, or our lack of a relationship with God as human beings. And so we've fled to trust in Jesus. And in trusting in him, we've been forgiven, we've been justified, cleansed of all our sin and adopted into God's family, not because of what we've done, but purely because of what Jesus has done. Despite what we've done, we've been forgiven and adopted into God's family if we've trusted in Jesus. That's the gospel of grace we believe and celebrate here. And as soon as I make my default position, that of judging my fellow Christian, I've forgotten the gospel of grace. And it's dangerous, that. It's a dangerous place to be. We should be more careful when approaching the sin of other Christians that we aren't in a rush to try them and condemn them. And we can avoid that by remembering, amongst other things, that there is a judge and we aren't him. There is a great day coming when Jesus will return and he will judge the living and the dead. And he will, on that day, pronounce judgment against all rebels against him who haven't trusted in him and his death on the cross. There is that day coming and there is a judge coming, but he's not. You know, we're not him. We're not the judge. Jesus said a little earlier in this great sermon, blessed are the merciful. Those who are quick to forgive rather than quick to judge. Is that me? Is that you? Or is my real default, happy are the ones who rush to judge? We need to be listening to what Jesus is saying here. What's my reaction when I notice a sin in another believer? Maybe it's greed or laziness or anger. But I see it in another Christian's life. What's my immediate reaction? Is it the case that in my heart I'm straight to the bench and there in the dock? Jesus speaks to me and tells me to be very careful. Rather, what I need to understand to get the relationship right is that that person is my brother or sister. They, like me, have been adopted into God's family, and that's my relationship with them. So if I do see an area of sin in another believer's life, first of all, I need to ask, am I praying for them about that sin because I love them and I'm concerned for them? If you want, one of the great safety valves that I think comes through in Scripture in dealing with other Christians, it's this. You know you're starting to get your heart right and the relationship right if the first thing you do when you see something in another Christian's life is pray about it. And pray, Lord, I love them. Lord, I see that going on in their life. Lord, help them with that and give them grace. That's the first thing I'm doing, then I'm on the right track. And I do also need to ask, and we'll come to this in a few minutes, is it right then to mention that sin to them? Sometimes it might be, sometimes it might not be. In Matthew 18, Jesus talks about when your brother sins against you and what you do about that. And he gives us a process to go through in the church. So if your brother sins against you, go and speak to them lovingly. Having prayed about it first is the implication. Go and speak to them. If they then don't respond, take another Christian along with you and talk to them. And then if they don't respond, take it to the church. He gives us a process to go through. But I don't think that means that we've got to go to Matthew 18 and start this process of dealing with sin every time another Christian sins against us. Because the New Testament also says love covers a multitude of sins. Sometimes when someone sins against us, we've just got to say, actually, on this occasion, because I love them, and for their good, I think the best thing to do is just pray about it and let it go. But then sometimes we'll get to the point that actually we do need to do something about it, and we'll come to that shortly. The point is, I don't rush to judge. I see them as my brother and sister first. I pray about it first before I decide what to do. And that makes sure that I'm not operating out of a sense of superiority. If I do feel superior, Jesus then, going on to our second point now, uses another picture to show me how ridiculous that is. And here's our second point. Get that plank out of your eye. Or, depending on what version you're using, that log out of your eye. Either way, it's a ridiculous image, isn't it? I love this. Jesus, the carpenter, Son of God, uses an image from the carpenter's workshop. There must have been hundreds of times where Joseph and Jesus got specks of sawdust or maybe even splinters in their eyes and had to wash them out. And Jesus, drawing on that, says, well, you think a speck or a splinter in the eye is bad. How about a plank? I can imagine the crowd at this point laughing out loud because this is a ridiculous image that Jesus is painting, the most wonderful preacher who's ever preached. But he's saying to us, that's us as Christians. When we are judgmental, when we rush to judgment, when we want to fault find, so often when we're finding fault with that other Christian, we're like this idiot in the carpenter's workshop who's trying to get the splinter out of his friend's eye when he's got a plank in his. It's ridiculous, isn't it? That's what we're like as other Christians when we go straight to another Christian's sin and forget about our own. Isn't this us so often? So you get angry at that Christian who spoke an unthinking word. Something they said to you that was unthinking and hurtful. And what you do is then, angry at their unthinking word, you go home and you shout at your children. Jesus says to you, and he says it because he loves you, hypocrite, get the plank out of your eye. Or I get upset at my spouse. This is hypothetical, by the way. I get upset at my spouse for being inconsiderate and unloving when all I'm thinking about is the effect it's having on me. Jesus says to me, hypocrite. He doesn't say, don't worry about their unthinkingness. But what he says is, sort out the plank in your own eye first. Or in my heart, I try and condemn a fellow church member because I found out they don't read their Bible regularly and they miss church regularly when I haven't prayed for weeks. Not really. Or you happily point out to your friend that they shouldn't have a non-Christian boyfriend when you've been looking at porn all week. Jesus says to us in those circumstances, stop being a hypocrite, stop being an actor. That's what hypocrite means, doesn't it? The hypocrite was a person in the theatre who put a mask on. Stop being an actor. Stop being forced. Look at your own sin first. Get the plank out of your own eye. In other words, get that sin out of being embedded in your heart. Deal with that first before you address their sin. So you see, Jesus is saying to us, we need to do regular heart checks on this because this can become a cancer in churches. I'm preaching this to you this morning because I've got to preach it to you because Jesus is saying it to us. And because this applies to any church. I can honestly say, from what I can see so far, I mean, you might all be talking about me behind my back, I don't know, but from what I'm seeing so far, I don't see this as a particular problem in Pomprenai, but it can be a problem in any church, and when it gets a hold in a church, it's a cancer. This kills churches. When all we're doing is criticising and backbiting and judging one another, instead of seeing each other as forgiven, adopted brothers and sisters and children of the King. So they're the first two points. You're a brother, not a judge, and get that plank out of your own eye. We need to seriously guard against judgmentalism in the church. But there is a but, and here's the third point. The third point is this: having done those things, then sort out your brother or sister's speck in their eye. Because you see, it's also the case at the other extreme that ignoring sin in other Christians' lives, ignoring sin in the church, can be a huge problem too. Which is why Jesus doesn't just tell us to sort out the plank in our own eye. He says, sort out the plank in your eye so you can help your brother or sister with the speck in theirs. How can you say to your brother, verse 4, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And see, at the other end, the other error, the other end of the spectrum that can be made is Christians say, well, there you go, Jesus says, do not judge, don't be a hypocrite, sort out the plank in your own eye. Therefore, Christians should never speak into another Christian's life about sin in their life. That is utterly false as well. That's an error as well. And here's why my friend is wrong to say to me that I can't comment on his sin. Jesus is saying to me, I shouldn't be judgmental, I shouldn't be hypocritical, but Jesus does tell me to help with the speck in my brother's eye. Yes, for the purposes of building up. Yes, because I love him. And yes, having addressed my own sin first, but I am to address my brother's sin. Jesus isn't saying here, by the way, we have to be sinlessly perfect before we speak into a brother or sister's life. We've got to acknowledge our propensity for hypocrisy, see our own sin, but we do need to speak into our fellow Christians' lives. Firstly, we need to pray, and then if it's right, we take it to our brother or sister and we speak to them about it. Either if they've wronged us, or if we see them doing something we know is harmful in their lives, and we, having prayed about it, feel we have to say something to them. This is tough. This is scary. But sometimes you have to do it, if you love them. Now, if you've got children, you know you have to do this. You have to have those conversations that you know aren't going to go well. You know it's not going to be pretty. But you know you have to have the conversation because you're a parent. In families, it might be your mum, your dad, your brother, your sister. You know sometimes you have to have these conversations and they're not easy. And if you know what true friendship is, you need to have those conversations sometimes that aren't easy. And sometimes we have to have them. You see, none of what Jesus has said here detracts from the biblical reality that we're meant to care about the state of our fellow disciples' hearts. We're meant to care about the speck in their eye. For example, let me just read one verse to you from Galatians. Paul says to Galatians, Galatians 6 verse 1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. He does go on to say, but watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted, and carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. But did you catch what he said? If someone who is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. In other words, don't ignore the sin. Try and get them back on track. Try and get them back walking close to Jesus. James says to us in his epistle, confess your sins to one another. So in the right way and wisely and in the right relationship sometimes, you're saying to other Christians, I'm struggling with this sin. Will you pray for me about it? We're meant to deal with sin in one another's lives in the right way. The writer of the Hebrews said, spur one another on to good deeds. Part of that is saying, you're doing well, carry on, keep doing that, be encouraged. And part of it is saying, timing's so key here, isn't it? Yeah, I don't think a good time to say this to your brother or sister is as they're about to reach for the communion cup or eat the bread or just as they come through the door on a Sunday morning. I don't think that's a good time. But if you do love them and you do care them and you've seen something in their life, then if you've made the effort to sit down with them for a cup of coffee or go out for a beer, then might be a good time to say it. And to say to your friend, mate, I've seen you doing this and I've heard you saying this and I care about you and I'm a bit scared to say this to you, but you shouldn't be doing that. I prayed about this and I know I'm not perfect and you might want to speak back into my life as well, but friend, that shouldn't be happening in your life. I just want to tell you that. Now you might get a good response. You might get a bad response, but you've been obedient to God's word if you've prayed about it and not ignored that sin in a brother or sister's life. Default to praying about it a lot first, yes. Ask for lots of wisdom, yes. But Jesus isn't saying here we never speak into each other's lives. We're not to set ourselves up as judge and jury. We're not to be hypocrites. But that doesn't mean that we can never exercise discernment or make judgment calls. Because, you know, making judgment calls, making judgments in one sense, is a good and a wise thing to do. We make judgments every day. We make judgments about whether that bathwater is too hot to get into. We make judgments about whether we think Swansea's going to get relegated this year. Sorry if that was a painful example to use. But, you know, we make judgments about stuff all the time, and certain judgments are okay to make. As in being discerning. Jesus warns us against judgmentalism. He doesn't say don't make any judgments ever. And that's why Jesus then goes on to talk about pigs and dogs. I'll touch on this one very quickly, but I think I need to touch on it because I can guarantee someone's going to ask me about it otherwise. Where does that fit? Why is he then suddenly talking about dogs and pigs? Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Well, first of all, what's the pearls? What's the sacred stuff? I think that's got, in context, that's got to be the gospel, isn't it? Jesus, is the gospel of the kingdom is the pearl of great price that Jesus will later talk about. And the sacred things that Jesus talks about here are surely the things he's teaching, the good news about what he's come to do, to forgive people and to accept them into God's family and to give them hope of heaven. And the message of the good news, the pearl of great price, is what Jesus seems to be talking about here. Who are the dogs or the pigs? Well, it'd be a big mistake to say the dogs and the pigs are non-Christians. As if we as Christians aren't dog-like and pig-like sometimes and we've got it all sorted and all non-Christians are dogs and pigs. No, that's not the point. Jesus is trying to set up an image here and say sometimes, you need to be careful about how and when and whether you're presenting this good news to certain people who don't believe it yet. If they've got to the point that they are hard-heartedly and stubbornly and aggressively rejecting the truth in an abusive way, then maybe the wise thing to do is keep praying for them, but for the moment at least, stop giving them the gospel. Our default position is always to share the gospel when we get the chance. But if someone gets to the point that they're going to tear you to pieces and they're going to trample it underfoot, either because you're presenting it unwisely or because they just got to the point they're that hard, then Jesus seems to be saying, use your judgment. Be wise. Use your discernment. Back off. Even if it's just for a while, back off and don't keep throwing those pearls at those pigs because pigs don't appreciate pearls. I mention it because isn't it a good example of Jesus showing us that sometimes, often, we need to judge as in exercise discernment, exercise wisdom. Don't keep presenting the gospel to those who consistently despise and reject it. I remember a while back some Mormon missionaries called into the door of our house and got into a conversation with them on the doorstep. They were pleasantly surprised that this non-Mormon wasn't being nasty to them and actually was willing to have a chat. And they came in and they had a coffee. I'm not recommending you do that, by the way, necessarily. You've got to use wisdom on that yourselves. But I got them in, I had a chat. I talked to them about the gospel and they talked to me about their beliefs. And then it happened again on another occasion and they brought another guy along. He's a bit more senior, I think. Same conversation with three of them this time. And it kept happening for a while. And then after a while, it got to the point that they turned up on the doorstep and I said to them, oh look guys, I'm not going to get you in for a coffee again. But thanks for coming around and I'm praying for you. I can't remember exactly what I said, but the gist was I'm praying for you to accept the truth. And we left it there. I didn't keep... They weren't swines and dogs in the sense they were horrible people, but it fits into the passage here. They were consistently... And maybe not aggressively, but persistently rejecting the gospel. And it gets to the point you've got to say, okay, I've said my piece. I'm going to keep praying for you, but I've said my piece. You might have family who you've tried to witness to over the years. And whenever you try and share with them now these days, the gospel and the good news about Jesus, they just get nasty and it just gets ugly. Well, maybe the thing to do for a while is just not share it anymore if you've been clear with them about the gospel. Keep praying. Keep praying. Pray that maybe someone else shares the gospel with them. This isn't meant to be a cop-out. You know, our default position should be share the gospel even when it's tough. But sometimes we need to use wisdom, Jesus is saying. So don't be judgmental, but exercise judgment calls. That's what Jesus seems to be saying to us. We need to be discerning and decisive. Jesus tells us, and the New Testament tells us, to test the spirits, to use wisdom. I could go on to give other examples of that, but we've run out of time. Do you see the picture? Jesus is saying, don't be judgmental, don't be judge and jury, but in some senses, yes, exercise judgment and use discernment. Jesus isn't ruling out discernment or judgment calls or dealing with my brother or sister's sin. He is warning me against a superior judgmentalism. He is warning me against hypocrisy. He is asking me whether I approach other disciples of Jesus as brothers and sisters that I want to build up, or as people I want to put in the dock and criticize. And here's the thing. If we can live in line with this as he gives us grace and strength to do it, we will be salt and light. We will be city on a hill. We will be blessed. We will be different. We will stick out. Because people will see us and they will say, that lot there in Pontypridd, they're a bit odd. They believe the Bible. They believe the good news about Jesus. They're a bit odd. But do you know what? They love each other. They don't rush to judge one another, but they're honest with each other because they are like a family. This is what they're like. This is what characterizes them. I can live with that. I want people to say that about me and say that about this church, don't you? Unafraid to call sin, sin, but wanting to build each other up, not drag each other down. Wanting to see ourselves grow more like Jesus first, but also wanting to see our brothers and sisters grow more like him. Wary of hypocrisy, but not scared of men. Praying before we say anything. Asking the Lord to help us get the balance right. I think this is a really good way of addressing sin in one another's lives, because it's Jesus' way. I think this helps us to get the balance right, and I think this does justice to the gospel of grace that we believe in and we proclaim here. So, when someone comes in who hasn't been here before, or when you're talking to your friend who doesn't believe in Jesus yet, you're not saying to them, hey, it doesn't matter how you live your life, you'll be fine. We can't say that. The Bible tells us Jesus is coming back. There is a day when he will judge the living and the dead, and all rebels against him will be pronounced guilty and will go to an eternity separated from God. That's what the Bible says, and that's what we have to proclaim. But Jesus has come, the Son of God has come, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross in the place of those who believe in him, bearing God's anger, righteous anger against that sin, so that when someone trusts in Jesus, really trusts in Jesus, surrenders to him, gives their life to him and says, Jesus, forgive me, Jesus, accept me, the moment they do that, they know that when Jesus comes back on that judgment day, what will he say to them when he sees them? He will say, welcome. He will say, come in. He will say to his Father, they're one of mine. I paid the price for them. They're forgiven. They're one of your sons, one of your daughters, Father. That's what he will say when we rest ourselves in him. That's the gospel we believe and proclaim, isn't it? And we have to see everything Jesus says in the light of that. Let's ask him to help us to be people who believe in grace and proclaim grace and practice grace because we've been forgiven so much. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as always, you've been straight with us through your word and you've not pulled your punches. You've used strong language to make us see what you want us to see. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be gracious people who don't rush to judge one another. But help us also to be brave and out of love to be prepared to speak into one another's lives. Help us to be people who believe and proclaim this gospel of grace. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you have done everything that needs to be done for us to be right with the Father and to be forgiven. Help us to rejoice in that this morning. Amen.